heroes don't die. Good always wins again and again. And love is a sweet dream that always comes true. Oh, if life were like the movies, I'd never be blue. But here in the real world, it's not that easy at all. 'Cause when hearts get broken, it's real tears. But the one thing I've learned from you is how the boys don't always get the girl here in the real world. I gave you my love. That wasn't enough to hold your heart when times got rough. And tonight on that silver screen, it'll end like it should. Two lovers like I hope we would. But here in the real world, it's not that easy at all. 'Cause when hearts get broken, it's real tears that fall. But the one thing I've learned from you is how the boys don't always get the girl here in the real world. Now the boys don't always get the girl.
foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. So help me God. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Loading now. Revolution. Welcome back to a little more of Living Way. Well, wait. No, this is the shooting bench. Thank you. I'm a little programming mix up there. Welcome to the shooting bench. January 11th. It's a Monday. Hope you guys had a good weekend. We've got several things we need to share with you. And, of course, a little update on what's going on in Oregon. Now, there's a lot of things going on in Oregon that, you know, we got it. Well, we'll get to it in a minute. Another update we have is Southwest Shooting Authority has joined forces with DefTech Academy, Defense Technologies Academy, DefTech, if you're looking it up. See if they're doing some updating to their website. I'm not sure if it's back up yet, but that's why we couldn't get it last night, because they're updating. So, but I'm going to be doing their handgun training for them. And our first class is scheduled for the 12th and 13th of March. And that will be, I think it's 12th, 13th, or 13th, 14th. Stand by 1 second. Let me get a verification here. We just made this decision about 4 hours ago. And yeah, 12th and 13th. And that will be down in Buckeye, Arizona. For anybody interested or wants to come in, it's going to be a 2-day handgun class. Our 2-day personal defense handgun. So if you're interested in that, get a hold of us. And we'll have it up on the website probably tomorrow night anyway. So that's one new thing that's going on. Let's see here. Well, let's do a little bit of an update here on some of the things going on in Oregon. I can tell you beyond any shadow of a doubt that there has been more misinformation and more lack of information going on in Oregon than at any time, I think, in Facebook history. Unbelievable, the stuff that has popped up there. All of us, every single one of us, are guilty of listening to it at least to some degree. Luckily, we've had some people that have checked on some of this stuff, and personally, people that we can actually trust, people that have integrity and honesty and all that stuff. And so there's, I can tell you that everything is not as it seems. Through there's some information that is available to the public. However, you have to search a little bit. You got to actually look to find out. Some of the things we have found out over the last few days is that, for one thing, the sheriff there was never elected. Now, I don't know how that works exactly. I thought the sheriff was an elected office no matter where you go, or at least in the United States. This particular sheriff apparently was appointed. How do you appoint a sheriff? I've never heard of such a thing. But anyway, right, wrong, or indifferent, he was appointed by a judge there locally. Well, oddly enough, this, stand by just 1 second here. There we go. This judge had a... stand by. Let me look at my notes here. Yeah, the judge is the chairman of the county commissioners there. The judge's wife, and this is no secret, we've known this for a little while, the judge's wife works for BLM. Now, can anybody tell me if they would think that, would there be any possibility that your own government, or in this case, it's a combination of federal government and county and city government there, would there be any possibility, by listening to this, that you might consider this a conflict of interest? It would appear to me, and I'm not a lawyer, and I didn't stay in a Holiday Inn Express last night or nothing else, but it would appear to me that if a good, sharp lawyer were to get a hold of this, it looks to me like they'd be able to say, you know what, y'all have made a tremendous mistake here. And I want those ranchers released, R-A-T, right now. We'll see. We'll see what happens over there. There's some information. I don't know. You know, this has all been kind of disguised and covered up and bounced around and everything a little bit. But this is. I can assure you that this is a fact. And I would think that would be one of the very biggest conflicts of interest. That's like. Let's see. That's like Gaston Glock being on the board of the purchasing board for handguns for the United States Army, or for the entire United States federal government, or something like that. It would be like John Browning being the deciding vote on whether or not the Los Angeles Police Department got 1911s, and I mean, you get what I'm saying. It would be this seems to me to be something out of Nightmare on Elm Street or something. It's I can't even hardly believe what I'm hearing coming out of there. It's crazy. So we'll these developments, as they are getting out into the being made more public and more people are becoming aware of this, I think that we're probably going to see a little bit more of a push, a little bit more of an uprising up there. Now, the Pacific Northwest Militia or something like that came in there, and at first I was wondering if this was a good idea. As it turned out, you know, within a couple of hours of thinking about it and seeing this, I thought, you know, this is a damn fine idea. If there was any reason to believe that they were going to be attacked or stormed by the stormtroopers, and it was starting to become increasingly unlikely anyway because of the amount of people up here, but putting this ring of armed patriots around this setting up this perimeter around this area up here where these patriots are, pretty much eliminated that possibility. Now, I wouldn't guarantee it, but I'd say it pretty much eliminated it. It's hard to guarantee anything with a government that does not recognize its own law and its own rules. We've seen that happen several times. But I'd say that it gave them quite a cushion to fall back on, you know. And so it's going to continue to get more and more interesting. And we'll, you know, as we find out things that we can verify. See, this whole misinformation thing, it started when the first thing people said was, oh, they've taken over a federal building. And so everybody says, you know, this is not a good thing. taking over a federal building with the guns in the federal and blah, blah, blah. Well, come to find out, it never was a federal building to start with. It's a county building. Huge difference. And basically, almost a abandoned building and not being used. Hammonds did go to federal prison, and a federal judge sent him there the second time. The first time is when the locals were involved. The first time that they did time for, what is that? I have no idea. Oh, yeah, I do know what that is. Oh, good. Okay. So, and another thing, Delta Force, I don't know who started that. Now, there may have been, so far we've seen no reason to believe that I'm aware of that there was ever any military called in there anyway. Were the National Guard activated strictly for this? That I'm not 100% sure of. But did they call Delta Force in there? No. No, that's some of these guys in there think they're probably pretty badass, but I don't think they're badass enough to call Delta in for. I really don't. Mountain Shooter, I'm not sure. Well, initially, everybody on Facebook said that it was a federal building. Everybody. But shortly after that, it became a county deal. So that changed everything. But by that time, the damage had already been done. Everybody was against them because of, they're saying. Now, and as I said during the very first broadcast that I made after this started, I am very much in support of what they're doing. I'm not sure that how they went about it to begin with was a smart idea. I still believe that it would have been more beneficial, a little easier on everybody concerned. I had to weigh in, not near as many surprises, if these people going up there would have gotten with some of the other folks, and the 3%ers and some of the other groups around, and kind of throw the idea out of what are we doing? Because before I even heard of it, everybody was already there, and the damage had been done. Three-quarters, nearly all of the people that are involved were already on site, and the building was taken over, I think, that evening. So, it would have, as it turns out, it seems that it's with the help of some other outsiders, it seems that it may not be nearly as bad as we first thought it might be, partly due to the misinformation that is being cleared up and partly due to other responsible, diligent patriots going in there and setting up a buffer zone there. So that's what's going on in Oregon right now, pretty much in a nutshell, I think. And if I have any corrections, there's been a lot of corrections to make since this started. There's been so many things that weren't actually true in the beginning. So anyway. Many, it's the first I've heard about anything about Native Americans saying anything about this. That's my first hint there for me. Okay, so many stories, so little time. Let's see what we got. Let me just throw all these in a hat here and mix them up a little bit, and I'll pull one of them out and see where she goes. Where it stops, nobody. This is a very interesting and quite confusing story. Let's start with this one. This may take a little bit. There is a story here from CBS News, and that in itself has me wondering just how factual it actually is. So let me back up here a little bit. There's a story by CBS News that talks about the most heavily armed states in the nation. How heavily armed is your state? They're saying that Wyoming has the highest number of registered guns per capita of any state in America. This doesn't surprise me much. Now, if you, we're going to go down through a few of these, and I think that this will come as a substantial surprise to some of you. It did me. When you think about per capita, that makes a bit of a difference. But in Wyoming, there are 195.7 guns for every 1,000 residents. That's 114,050. Now, they say registered guns. There is no registration in the state of Wyoming, just like there's no registration in the state of Arizona, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado, Wyoming, Montana, and most other states, actually, quite a few other states. But I think what they've done is just taken the NICS checks, you know, the 4473, the background checks, and determined, given some kind of an idea of how many guns were sold. They can also get it through shipping records from distributors and whatnot. There's a couple of ways they could get some kind of a general idea. But 114,000 guns doesn't sound like a lot until you figure out that there's only 582,000 people in Wyoming, in the whole state. Now, Wyoming, I believe, is... I'm not sure what somebody can look that up for me, but the land mass, the square miles of Wyoming, probably isn't a whole long ways off from Arizona. But there's only 500,000 people there and 114,000 guns. So that's, I don't know if we'd want to take off. Now, number two, now this is going to blow you away. Guess who number... I'm going to look at the chat room real quick and see if I can get a guess here. Now, some of you are probably already reading the story, so you're going to cheat. But who do you think number two, the number two on the list of the most guns per capita?
California.
No, California is way on down the list. Actually, it is D.C., District of Columbia. Remember these numbers. We had, what was it, 125, 100-something in Wyoming. About half of that in D.C., there's 66.4 guns for every 1,000 students, residents. That's 43,000 guns mixed in amongst 650,000 people. That one kind of surprised me. Number 50 is Arkansas, with 41.6 guns for every 1,000 residents. That's 123 guns for almost 3 million people. So, you know, there's a lot of guns there. There's 10,000 more guns than there is in Wyoming. But there's five times more people, almost six times more people in Arkansas than there is in the state of Wyoming. And look at the size of Arkansas compared to the state of Wyoming. A little bit of difference there. New Mexico, 40.5 guns per 1,000. That's 84,471 guns dispersed amongst a little less than 2,085,287 people. So even New Mexico is pretty sparsely populated if you figure look at the land mass and figure there's only 2 million people there, and half of those are in the Albuquerque area alone. Okay, next one, number 5 is Virginia, number 6 is Idaho, number 7 is Alabama, 8 is Nevada. Now, Nevada is another one of those fairly sparsely populated. If you look at the size of Nevada, it's a pretty cotton-picking good-sized state. But only 19.5 guns for every 1,000 residents. And most of those are in pawn shops in Las Vegas. No, not really. That's 54,000 guns dispersed amongst 2 and 3 quarter million people. Interesting stuff here. Alaska, number 9. 15, now this one surprised me quite a bit. 15 guns, 15.2 guns for every 1,000 people. Only 11,000 guns in the state of 735,000 people. Very surprising to me coming from Alaska. Louisiana, very surprising. 15.1 guns for every 1,000. 69,668 guns dispersed amongst 4.5 million people. Kind of surprising for Louisiana. They've got some good statistics coming out of Louisiana on other things, concealed carry and whatnot. Maryland and Pennsylvania tied at number 11. Georgia and New Hampshire tied at number 13. Indiana at 15. Indiana is only 14 guns amongst, 14 out of 1,000. 92,700 guns dispersed amongst 6.5 million people. Indiana's got good gun laws and stuff. Kentucky's good gun state, but only 13.5 guns for every 1,000 people. Utah, 17, another surprising one. Texas, now this one blows Texans away, I'll guarantee you. What? Texas, you telling me we're number 18? We're not number 18 at anything. Well, you are, according to CBS News, you are number 18 for how heavily armed you are. 12.8 guns for every 1,000 residents. Blows me away. 337,309 guns for 26.5 million people. That is embarrassing. 26.5 million people and only 300,000 guns. Unbelievable. Oklahoma, another great gun state. Number 19. Colorado, number 20. Another good gun state except for Denver and Aurora and a couple of bad laws up there. But until the last 3 or 4 years, Colorado has been very, very, very pro-gun.
Aren't these the only ones that people know about, though? I mean, I'm sure these people have guns that people aren't registered and people don't know about.
Well, yeah, it probably is. And the story says registered firearms, but...
They have two registered, but 30 in their house.
Yeah, and there's no way to distinguish that, no way to tell. Amy's standing over there hollering without her headphone on, her headset. Isn't there guns out there that they don't know about? Of course there is. There's probably actually quite a few. You know, most of us listening to this show probably have, this says 12 guns for 1,000 residents. Some of us have enough to cover 3,000 residents ourselves. In Colorado's only 12 guns per 1,000 residents. That's astounds me. South Carolina, number 21. South Dakota, 22. Ohio and Oregon and Connecticut and Montana and Tennessee all tied for 25. Number 28 is North Carolina, Kansas, 29. Florida, only 10.2 guns for every 1,000 residents. Just a hair under 200,000 guns for 19.5 million people. Some of these numbers are just astonishing. Minnesota, North Dakota, Arizona, West Virginia, all tied for 33. It says Arizona, well, actually all four of these states, have 9.4 guns. BB Burner, buddy, this is hard to believe. Now, I will tell you that there is a whole lot of guns in this state that ain't on this list. I can guarantee you that, people that I know. But it says there's only 9.4 guns per 1,000 people here. 62,527 guns dispersed amongst over 6.5 million people. 4 million of those are right down there where BB Burner lives. Rest of them scattered out amongst the rest of the state there. And 35, Illinois, and no surprise there. 36, Maine, not too surprising. 37, Scout, B2 Basic, sorry, but State of Washington. Now, this has probably largely due to the fact that there's a whole bunch of people in Seattle that don't have any guns in the surrounding area. They are number 37 with 8.6 guns per 1,000 residents. 60,000 guns amongst 7 million people. Excuse me. That is embarrassing. Missouri at 15 kind of surprises, or 38, I'm sorry, and that surprised me. Wisconsin, 39. A lot of deer hunters up there. I expected that one to be higher. California, believe it or not, is number 40. 7.6 guns for every 1,000 residents. That is, of course, there's a lot of residents in California. 293,000 guns for a little over 38 million people. Wow. Less than 10% if you look at the number of guns for the whole total of the number of the state there, where Wyoming was over 20%. Let's see here. Nebraska, 41. Mississippi, 42. Doc, sorry, 6.8 guns per 1,000. 20,000 guns for 3 million people. Vermont, number 43. Iowa, 44. New Jersey, 45. Hawaii, 46. They're showing a stupid picture on Hawaii here. 5.1 guns. 7,000 guns for 1.4 million people in Hawaii. 47, Massachusetts, 4.9 guns per 1,000. Michigan, 48, 4.3 guns. Delaware, 4.2 guns at 49. And lastly, and leastly, Rhode Island at 3.8 guns per 1,000. There's 3,900 guns, almost 4,000 guns, in just a skosh over a million people. How freaking embarrassing is that? Now here's... Oh, I see. They added the District of Columbia, and so there's actually a couple more. 51 is New York. It says that New York come in at 3.3 guns, 64,000 guns for 19.5 million people. And, okay, that was the last one. Because they added the District of Columbia in there, so New York was the last one. A little strange, a little funny there. Let's see here. Well, that's... I know some of you guys don't agree with that. I didn't agree with some of them, but that's what CBS News said it was. So, okay, well, let's see here. I didn't have a break pulled up there like I should have had. So I think what we'll do is listen to this song right here, and then we'll be back.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Were you in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children who lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? Did you burst out with pride for the red, white, and blue, and the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer and look at yourself and what really matters. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us. Greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes, hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset the first time in ages? Speak to some stranger on the street. Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I've talked to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
And we're back. And boy, do I have some disturbing news here for you. Just a minute here. All right. This list that I was looking at, it's funny because the first page is, you go through all these 50 pages of this. It starts out way back on 52 of 53. And if you go to 53, it has a little advertisement. And if you go through the whole thing, guess what you find out at the end of the story? On page 53 of this article, here's what the guns were all about. These, believe it or not, are NFA weapons. These are machine guns, fully automatic weapons, short-barreled rifles, short-barreled handguns, silencer, well, silencers not included. But it covers all of the things. So this is an extremely accurate count. Give or take a few that were obtained illicitly, illegally. And but for the most part, these are accounted for just about 100% in each state. So these were also destructive devices, bombs, grenades, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so that explains things. That's everything with a bore diameter over a half inch, everything over 50 cal, any, you know, 20 millimeter stuff, 40 millimeter, whatever. Those are what's covered. So that changes things a whole bit, a whole lot. And Tampico Scout sent me a story, and I've had this story up a time or two a long time ago. And it's a good story that compares every state with different nations around the world in gun ownership. So they kind of the little story that goes along with it, what it boils down to is California has 33.08 million guns, which is closest to China. It's 40 million. So we have one state, like China. Germany, 22.3 million guns, closest to Germany's 25 million. New York alone, closest to Pakistan's 18 million. So if we look at Arizona, now this is more like it, is almost 6.5 million. And what did we say? New Mexico's over 2 million. Washington State, 6.75 million. Wyoming is one gun per resident, give or take a few thousand. I think, what'd we say, 584,000 people? Is that what it was? Let's see here. See if I can find the story here again. Wyoming is 582,000 people, and they got 563,000 guns. Almost a gun per person. So that's pretty respectable right there. Okay, got that all cleared up. All right, let's look at some of the, now speaking, let's stay on the gun thing here a little bit. And I would have a problem with this. I would very much have a problem with walking into a Walmart and the door greeter asking me if I had papers for my gun. Because it's only legal to carry openly in Texas if you have a permit. So Walmart has taken it upon themselves to check everybody that may be carrying openly. So I would have a substantial problem with that. Like, how do you check the people that are concealed? And why do you care if I'm carrying openly? And what about all these other 9 guys ahead of me that are carrying concealed? 2 of them illegally with felonies on their record. Did you check them? Managers at Walmart store in Texas have added a new duty to their list. And let's see, to comply with liquor rules, the world's biggest retailer sent a written notice last month to stores that sell alcohol, telling managers to ensure that customers who carry openly have licenses. That is not Walmart's business to do that. The cashiers or the door greeters or who see someone with a gun are to alert the highest ranking employee, who is to approach the customer and ask to see the paperwork. And I would tell him, you jump up and kiss my what? The thing, the Walmart spokesman says, we do try to ensure that people have a licensed firearm. Well, in the first place, the license doesn't license the firearm, it licenses the owner. He said, we are given direction to our store employees to ask for a license as our management sees appropriate. The notice went into effect January 1st, made Texas the nation's largest populous state to allow citizens with a permit to carry handguns openly in a holster. I would hope, in a holster. So this that's a little bit goofy to me. It says that Walmart's position is unusual because of its many of its stores sell beer and wine. That puts the company in the crosshairs of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Commission, which prohibits unlicensed handguns in establishments that sell products for off-premises consumption. An establishment can lose its liquor license if it knowingly allows a person to bring an illegal firearm on the premises. So, whether you check your permit or not, it says if you knowingly allow a person to come in to bring an illegal firearm on the premises, if that is anywhere close to the exact legal wording of this, the permit that they have doesn't make the firearm legal. It says to bring an illegal firearm on the premises. You can be carrying a legal firearm and not have a permit to carry the firearm. So you might be doing it illegal, but the firearm would still be legal. Does that make sense? Of course it makes sense, because I said it. Now, before this, somebody shopping in Walmart could be walking around with a concealed weapon legal for 20 years in Texas, and none of the clerks would ever even have known. Under this new law, the only way to ensure compliance is to ask the customer with the gun for a permit. Now that it's open carry, that creates a new space that you have to cover. It says that this is a guy with the Texas Retailers Association. Stores like Walmart want to make absolutely sure that the message they convey is, we welcome your patronage, but we sell alcohol and we don't want to risk losing the ability to do that. It still is not the store, in my opinion, not the store's responsibility to ensure that you're complying with the law. If you want somebody to check and see if you're complying with the law, then you need to post agents up there at the liquor counter or whatever. Well, it's illegal to carry in the building, period. So if you want to do that, then you need to have some liquor board people or state cops or whatever it is to stand there and ask everybody that comes in carrying a gun. Now, that makes it a little bit more of a... Do what?
It's Walmart TSA.
Yeah, it's Walmart's TSA there is what Amy said. So if... If they're encouraging Walmart to enforce the law, I don't understand. I don't understand how that works exactly. What if I refuse? The law says they have to ask. Does the law say I have to answer? And what this does is going to discourage people from carrying openly in Walmart. Of course it will. Who wants to go through all that crap? If it's legal to carry concealed, throw on a vest and be done with it and not have to do that. So, interesting, stupid thing there. Anyway, be that as it may, let's go down through here. See, I told you about that, and I told you about that. There's, I think, yeah, I told you about the Marines having to go co-ed here, which was goofy. All right, I think I'm caught up with all of those. All right, now then. I have, hopefully, I told you a week or so ago that there's some other really big news coming up here. There's a couple of things, actually. One of them is, I can't tell you, and the other one is that I've got a guy, a good friend that we've kind of, and probably is more my fault than anybody else's, kind of neglected to stay in touch when I should have. But this dedicated, loyal listener for all these years has recorded every show that we've put up on podcast, which is just about 100% of them, give or take a few that I forgot to turn the recorder on or something. So here, sometime in the not too distant future, there will be various sets of Shooting Bench, available on CD. I'm not sure last time he did this. We should have everything available. I think he said from 2007 to present, to the beginning of this year, which I thought was absolutely amazing. What a friend to do something like that. So when those become available, I don't know how many is going to be on a disc. I don't know how many, you know, I don't know anything about it, but he is doing this for me. And we'll have that stuff available for you here pretty quick. Let me go and check and see what's going on here in the chat room before we close the doors. And we've got, looks like it's a little chilly up where Elderberry's at. 4 degrees, gone up to 4 degrees there. Well, I'm not sure. It was pretty good. It was about, I think it was 17 when I come home. Amy, what is it in there now? Can you see it? We've got, according to my phone, it's still 17, but that station is a little ways down the road, so. Amy says that thermometer in there says 18, so it's pretty close. Let's see. I don't know what the rules say, Minnie. I think it's just alcohol, period. Even if it's just wine, I think it's still going to count. So, but well, it won't because this is in Texas. So, oh, you're in Texas. That's right. I forgot. All right. A lot of stuff going on in the chat room. A lot of different discussions going on here. At Walmart, they ask if I'm buying 22 shells. You know, they used to do that. It used to be the law, Elderberry. You used to have to, everyone used to have to ask if your 22 shells are for a handgun, for a rifle. I'm not sure if it's still the law or not, but it certainly was, and it may still be. I don't know. But if you're buying it for a handgun, you have to be 21 to buy them. If you're buying them for a rifle, you can be 18. How dumb is that? If you buy them at 18, that means when you go home, thou shalt not put them in a handgun. Capiche? Thank you. Let's see. All right. Wow, Matty Buck's got 15 below zero up there in Colorado. All right. Okay, let's. I think that pretty well covers it and wraps up. Many you say Walmart's your only option. You buy from Amazon. You know, looking at it from a political standpoint, I would much rather buy from Walmart than Amazon. Looking at it from an economic standpoint, variety and all that. I'll tell you what, Amazon's hard to beat. Amazon can't be beat. Let's put it that way. But Elderberry, I don't know. I'll have to look and see, but that may still be a law on the books, keeping track of it for the feds, the 22 thing. I think it's still a law. I'm not positive. No, it's not. It can't still be a law. Can't be. I don't know. I'll check. Anyway, you know what happens when I start babbling like this? It becomes time for me to get out of here. So we'll see you all tomorrow, and we've got a little bit of new music and stuff for you. We've been trying to stay on top of this. Man, I have had so many things to do. One of them was today. I had to go down, you know, about halfway to Phoenix and meet with this guy with Def Tech Academy, and so I could be knighted, so I could be get the official title of handgun instructor for Def Tech Academy. So this ought to be fun. It's going to take a little while to build it up, but he's got a pretty good following for a small outfit. If I go down there and do a class for him, you know, once a month or once every other month or whatever, so it'll be fun. It'll be interesting new until it gets hot this summer, and then you know, after probably about May, that'll be about the end of my classes that I do down in his part of the country. I said, if you want any done after that, they'll be in my part of the country. So, all right, I'm out of here. We'll see you all tomorrow.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.